Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And here are some uncomfortable questions for the media. Why are we obsessing so much on this London attack in the United States, so much more than we did on the Madrid attack? And for that matter, what about Sudan? And for that matter, what about all the individual terrorist attacks that take as many lives and seem to happen on an almost daily basis in Iraq? Where is our focus? Where is everybody calling up and giving their sympathies? Where is our minute description of the carnage and the damage and who might be responsible in those attacks? Are British lives worth more than all these other lives? Here to talk about that and other questions of the media coverage in the last day is Jeff Jarvis, blogger from BuzzMachine.com. Hi, Jeff.
Howdy. How are you?
Good. So as a media watcher, what's your first reaction?
Well, to your question, Tom Friedman did say today that there is a point where we do feel a kinship to Britain. It is kind of the mother country still, though we can't necessarily trace all of us to there. So, we can play that numbers game and attention game all the time. There is just simply no question that the attacks in Britain were horrendous, and they were worthy of coverage. If we don't cover other things as much, then that's more the problem. But I think they got the coverage they deserved.
Yeah. And particularly, for example, we had a caller yesterday. We didn't have time for him, but I bringing up his question anyway, because I think it's troubling, the lack of moral equivalency in covering attacks on London so intensively, and not anything like this for the almost daily attacks in Iraq, which have taken as many lives on so many more occasions in the last few months.
Yes, and I think that it's Iraqis and outsiders attacking Iraqis, it's attacking civilians. It is terrorism, but we have media outlets that refuse to call that terrorism. And I think that's wrong. It is absolutely terrorism. It is defined to try to terrorize the civilian population of Iraq. And you bet we don't get enough coverage of that. We don't get enough condemnation of that, including in Iraq.
Plus, I guess, just the fact that it is a war zone gives the media a different sense of, after all, the word news is the plural of new, and it's not new if there's another attack in a war, in the same way that it's new when there's attack on civilians in a city going about their business.
Or an attack on our soldiers there. Yes, I think that the news happening in Iraq is that you have people who are trying to terrorize that population and steal their freedom, and that's news. But if you cover that too much, I think it would be accused of being pro-American, pro-war coverage too, Brian.
So what are you writing on Buzz Machine?
Well, I think what fascinated me yesterday was that as soon as this horrible event happened, I had confidence that I could go online to weblogs and see witnesses telling me what was happening, and I did. There's one site that collects blog addresses based, ironically, around tube station stops in London. And I went on there, and I found accounts from people who were, 100 yards away from the event. One man who, by the way, found out about it not from the explosion but from the Internet. We saw people coming online saying simply, I'm okay, I'm fine, which is really the most elemental definition of news. One of the, I think, iconic images of yesterday was a mobile blog shot somebody took from within the tube at the moment this happened, showing us the dust and the darkness and the fear. It's a new definition of news that came out that we can now go and hear from the people who are there.
Right. So the Internet is playing a role in this story in a way that maybe it didn't even in 9/11.
Absolutely. I mean, I started blogging because I survived 9/11, and I often think that if I had my camera phone there that day, and a lot of others did, the image most people had of 9/11 was from a rooftop 3 miles away of the smoking towers. The image we had was very different that you had in the neighborhood as well. Mm-hmm. And I think, yes, but it also, I see, too, media outlets starting to train themselves differently. As soon as this happened yesterday, BBC and Times of London put up requests for their readers and viewers to send them stories immediately. And they put those up immediately.
By email?
By email. Now, that's email and SMS as well, but also all they had to do was go out and read the blogs that were there and find the photos that were there, but they put those photos up. And so what it means now is that anyone who witnesses can report. We're all journalists in a way.
Right. And is there sort of moral content to that, or is it just an observation on the progress of technology?
I think there is, because, you know, I was reading the Times kind of man on the street story today in London with the stories, and it was a well-done story, and it was a story that, you know, I would have put on page one had I been, an editor back in those days. But it struck me that the paragraphs that the reporter put in the middle kind of got in the way of, I'm now attuned to hearing the voice directly of the witnesses, whether it was the tsunami or whether it was this attack yesterday. I can now hear the people who were there, and I kind of don't need the reporter in the middle in some cases, in stories like that.
Let's get a caller on. Graham in Long Island City, you're on WNYC.
Yeah, hi. Good morning. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
No, I just think that you, being devil's advocate, was too quick to condemn the media. Part of the problem was that in the Madrid bombings, you didn't have as many reporters from other countries who spoke Spanish, while in England they speak English of a sort, and you had a lot more intense coverage because of the G8. And if you remember following the Madrid bombing, there was lots and lots of coverage, and there were lots of first-hand stories.
Yes.
But it takes, the lag time is the thing.
In fact, I remember on the day of, we did not do a segment on the Madrid bombings on this show. And at that time, you know, the officials there were saying it looked like the work of ETA, and everything else was unclear. There's nothing really that we know to report. And we got a few emails from listeners just ripping us for not focusing on it. And of course, by the next day, when it seemed that it was Al-Qaeda and the officials in Spain may have even been misleading people about who it was for political purposes, you know, then we were all over it. But there was that day of hesitation that we look back on.
The second of anything gets more attention simply because there's something, a precursor that you know what to look for. And that's exactly what happened in London.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for your call.
I think it's also very familiar, as you just discussed with Lenore, to New York and the notion of subways and buses here. Even though it was a train in Madrid, and that's the same, there's something that feels very New York-y about London.
Yes, that's true. Darby in Park Slope, you're on WNYC.
Hi. I just think that the media in general takes these, and terrorism, you know, all of these events are tragic, and I wish that they didn't happen, but in general, it's not what we should be focusing our energy, our effort on. Like, you know, there was all that coverage about the Michael Jackson trial and Terry Schiavo and shark attacks and these things that don't actually affect us, really. And it takes our attention away from the development in Brooklyn or on the West Side, or the fact that most of us don't have health care, or the fact that we have low-paying jobs and, like, actual issues.
Right. And you know, I think, Jeff, and we have about a minute left, this goes to your main point, which is that the media is really bifurcating or trifurcating or quadfurcating or whatever it's doing into various streams now. So you have the cable news channels, which are, you know, shark attacks and Michael Jackson until something like this happens. Then they're hard news. Yet you have blogs, which are self-defining. You have stations like this, which do a certain thing. And, you know, in a way, we're much more decentralized than we used to be as a media.
Which I think is good. It's the end of one-size-fits-all media. You can't serve all needs at once. And we're smart out here. We can find the news that we need. And the Internet makes that a lot easier to do.
Jeff Jarvis writes the blog BuzzMachine.com. Jeff, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
Nuala McGovern produced this program with Ilya Meritz, Jim Colgan, and Priya George. That's Marta Castang, who also helped us out today. Dave Abramson at the audio controls. Music, as ever, provided by Soul Live. Have a good weekend. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.